for those of you that missed, last time I preached, I talked about, you know, the crossover. At the cross, it can be over. At the cross, you can go over. And really today, I just want to teach a little bit, not so much preach. I won't yell at you. I want to teach a little bit. I want to break it down. Just one aspect of that, of God opening our eyes. Now, if you weren't there, I'll just review real quick because it doesn't matter. What we talked about, what happens when your eyes are open, there's usually a response of what you see. Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He didn't go through lessons or teachings. When he saw the Lord high and lifted up, his response was, I am a man of unclean lips. And then God responded. So when I say the eyes, I want to read a scripture. It says in the New Testament, Paul wrote to the Ephesians after they were saved, he said that the eyes of your heart be enlightened. Now he said, he didn't say this to non-saved people. There's an opening, a continual opening when we get saved. Now, when you get saved, your spirit's instantly perfect. But we live in a soul, you know, your mind, will, and emotions. Your mind does not instantly think the mind of Christ. So we renew our mind to see. Now, when I say the eyes of your heart be enlightened, where you could see something, sometimes people were teaching, oh, the light went off. Or, I heard the gospel 10 times, but then all of a sudden the light went off. God wants us to see what he sees. And he wants you to see the way he sees, and he wants you to see what he sees over your life, amen? Because you say, some people, so many times when I pray in you know, even meetings in America, or, you know, I go to Mexico or different places, people come up like this for prayer. They come with shame and guilt. And really what they're saying is, I do not know if I'm worthy, or I don't feel worthy for what I'm about to ask. And they see that, but if they could see themselves the way God sees them, they would come boldly to the throne of grace. It doesn't say the throne of denial, the throne of judgment. They would come boldly to the throne of grace, not sheepishly, not afraid, boldly. Why? Because they know they have a good father. Amen? We sang about it. And we sing about it, we talk about it, but God is not like a father, or he's not as a father. He is a father. He is. He's not like. The Bible doesn't say, Jesus says, I'm going to my father and your father. He didn't go, I'm going to, you know, the big man in the sky or the one. He says, to my father and your father. So it's very different, you know. So I want to read a passage of scriptures, and hopefully we can pull some things on it to change it. So let's just pray. Holy Spirit, I thank you for this afternoon. I thank you for opening the eyes of our heart, God. And words without your spirit are not life. And Jesus, you said my words are spirit and they are life. So Lord, I thank you. There's not just words, but they change people's lives, that they begin to see you, that they begin to see the good father, that they begin to see who, the Jesus who they sent. They begin to see the Holy Spirit. They begin to, the eyes of their heart being open, Lord. And I thank you for that, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for, sometimes it's just one thing to change us. And sometimes we don't need 80 points or 30 points. We just need to see clearer. And I pray that that happens today in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just want to pull one of the aspects out from last time. It says, this is after the resurrection, but Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now behold, two of them, two of the disciples or people that were following Jesus, doesn't give their names, were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. So this is after Jesus rose again. They left Jerusalem, and they're walking on the road. They're 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And so many times we're walking with Jesus. We're saved with Jesus. We're going to heaven, but we don't see what he sees. The eyes of our heart are restrained, and we don't see him, or we don't see where we're walking, or don't see where he's guided us. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? I love this story because it shows God's sense of humor. Here they are walking with Jesus, and he says, why are you so sad, knowing everything? They go, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which had happened in these days? And he said to them, what things? They said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, listen to the language, who was a prophet. Was, he's dead, he's a prophet. And the reasoning was, because Jesus died, he was just a prophet. And so what kind of conversations? Because the Bible says they reasoned with themselves. And see, what happens is, here was Jesus, they thought he was the Messiah, but Messiahs don't die. They saw him die, but they didn't see the plan. And sometimes when we just see the part, it can bring discouragement, it can bring disappointment, and denial. And when that does, it causes an internal discussion, which detours us and distances from our destiny. Yeah. It's like Sesame Street, right? But so they're walking together and they're talking, but sometimes we have an internal discussion, and they are 7 miles from where they should have been. And what happens is when we get discouraged or disappointed and things don't happen the way we see that they should have been, we begin to converse with ourselves, and it's reasonable. See, it's reasonable. It's not unreasonable. Messiahs aren't supposed to die. That's what they thought. But because Jesus died, they reasoned that he's not the Messiah. And so the same thing happens to us. Because that plan did not happen the way I thought, then it's not going to happen. Because this didn't happen or this didn't happen, and discouragement comes in, and we begin to get distance between us and our destiny. We don't talk about it the same way. We don't have the same excitement. See, one day they're going, Jesus, 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 Hosanna, and the next day they're walking 7 miles, and they said, we thought he was the Messiah. He was a prophet. So they're talking to the living Messiah and saying he was in the past. See, with reasoning, what happens is we do the same thing, but the difference is our conversations are internal. Very rarely will we just be totally honest, say, you know, sometimes, you know what, I just don't believe God. It's been so long, or it's been too hard, or it's been this, or it's been that, and we begin to distance ourselves. I love Jesus because he keeps walking with him. He doesn't even discipline him. He just says, in a way, he says, oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the things that the prophets have spoken. I guess that's a discipline. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Things that were written on a scroll, Jesus expounded to them, and he explained to them why this must be. And all of a sudden, they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is spent, and he went in them to stay with them. Now, it came to pass as he sat at the table with them. So there's who they just think is a man, and the two people, and he's sitting with them. He took bread. Jesus took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it, and he gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Their eyes were opened. And in a moment, the Bible says, and they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked from us on the road? And while he opened the scriptures to us, so they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. So as soon as their eyes were open, all of a sudden they returned to where they should have been. We need our eyes open to return to what God has already said. What happens is reasoning has taken us from our destiny, and we don't talk about it. See, when Jesus was on the earth, there was a great excitement. He's the Messiah, because they had in their mind how this is going to happen. And they said, we thought he was going to liberate Israel, because it didn't happen like they thought. We thought a revival was coming. We thought we were going to have kids. We thought we were going to have money. Because I'm not blessed now, I don't talk about it the same way, and I reason in myself, Dad wasn't rich, Mom wasn't rich, Grandpa wasn't rich, we were all poor, and now reasoning has taken me from my destiny from a distance. And it's internal. They're still walking with Jesus, but they can't see. And so many times we're walking with Jesus, but we can't see the full picture. They saw him die, but they didn't see the full picture. It was hidden. It was hidden even from Satan. Because if Satan knew the full plan of God, that's the power of God. It was written on scrolls from thousands of years that Satan didn't know the plan. If he can hide it from Satan, and he can open it to you. Friends, that is love, and that is power. Thousands of years it was written on the scroll, but Satan entered Judas. See, there's many reasons why Satan hates the cross. But one of the things is he made the cross, he made the principalities a spectacle publicly. And another thing is Satan entered the plan without even knowing the plan. There's plans over your life. Satan doesn't know, and you don't know. Only God knows. And all he says is, trust me, but I want it written down. Trust me, but I want to know. Trust me, I got your building. God, where's the address? Trust me, where's the revival? Trust me. And we use reason, because it's been so long, because it's been so happening, because it's been so this. Reinhard Bonnke. If you guys don't know who Reinhard Bonnke is, God says, go to Africa, a white man, go to Africa, preach to black people. He went there, and he says, you cannot preach to black people, because it was during apartheid. He said, God sent me to preach me to black people. So there he is on the corner, playing the accordion, no converts. And it was reasonable for him to go home. They don't want you, but he kept his eyes on Jesus. Keep going, keep going. And eventually he preached over to 1 million people live. Millions have got saved, because why? He didn't use reasoning. It's reasonable to turn back. It's reasonable to give up. It's reasonable to think he's never going to bless you. See, there was a lot of excitement when Jesus was on earth, but when he was dead, it wasn't like they thought. Therefore, they laid their plans down with him. He was a prophet, past tense, no different than Elijah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah. No, 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 friends. You're talking to the living Jesus, and you do not even know, because your eyes are not open. As soon as he opened our eyes, that very hour they return. And so we need to return to our destiny and say, God, every dead thing that I thought was dead, these bones can live. And we don't say, can these bones live? The prophet said, God, you know. We don't say, you know, yes, Lord, they can live. Breathe again. Live again. See, we read those stories as examples too, so we don't have to walk in the same way. We don't have to die in the desert. We don't have to go, God, you know. Really, what that answer was, I don't believe so, but I'm not going to tell you because I'm speaking to God, so God, you know. That's what that was. He didn't say, yeah, they can live. Son of man, can these bones live? God, you know. Because I don't really believe it. The prophet comes and prophesies, and you know, everybody says, that's an awesome word, that's an awesome word, but you go, I don't see it. But we don't tell each other. We have that conversation inside. Oh, just one more word about that. Come on. Just one more word about that, or one more promise about that. But God can take the old and make it now. He can take the old and make it now. We talked about that last time. Let me give you an example of the old and making it now. One of my favorite teachers is Robert Morris. I love Robert Morris. He's a man that rightly divides the word. He's full gospel. He's a mega church, many people, but he talks about subjects that a lot of mega pastors don't talk about. One day he says, today we're going to learn about what it means to be a Christian. You can sit in this church, die, and go to hell. Who says that? Over 20,000 people. Find one. He talks about I'm talking about the God I never knew, the Holy Spirit. Well, he knows the kings and the periods. He knows the Greek and the Hebrew. He's dying. He's in a trip in another country. And I'm watching him one day, and he says, I'm dying. They rush me to the doctors, and I'm bleeding internally. So I'm in a hospital. My wife's not there. Kid's not there. I'm in another country. And, you know, I'm dying. And he says, I start thinking about all the scriptures I know, all the scriptures I know. And then I remember my phone. So I reach over and I grab my phone. And I read the scripture from the Old Testament that says, I walked by and I saw you struggling in your blood and I said, live, live. He grabbed that scripture and he lived. If you look at the context of that scripture, he didn't go into it. But it's to Israel about sin, not to Robert Morris. His name is not on it. For thousands of years, it sat there, and all of a sudden, the old became now. What seemed dead became alive. Now, when he needed that, he did not go. He knows the word. He didn't go, that's not for me. That was for Israel during sin, during this period. He said, I need it. You know why he grabbed onto it? It was the difference between life and death. And I'm telling you, the difference between you knowing your destiny and not knowing it, walking it and not walking it, not just knowing it, is life and death. And I'm not talking about salvation. Because he was desperate, he didn't go, well, let me look in the Greek. He just read that part. I walked by, saw you struggling in your blood, and I said, live, live. And he said, that's for me. Let me grab it. And we need to do the same thing when God opens our eyes. And the old becoming now. He didn't look up commentaries. Not one commentary says Robert Morris. Not one commentary says this is for you. Not one thing over your life said this is for you. Not one financial thing said this is for you. And you said, no, this is for me. There's not one commentary written that says this scripture is for Robert Morris. But still he grabbed it. Why? Because he was dying. If we knew our spiritual life from life and death, we wouldn't be so, has to be this way, has to be this way. We say, Lord, according to your word, be it unto. In a day, the bones can live. Amen? Discouragement and denial can bring disappointment, which causes internal discussion, which makes us detour from our destiny. We need the eyes of our heart open. Look at Jeremiah. He said, Jeremiah, and sometimes what happens, if our eyes are open, we need to continually have our eyes open. Because sometimes we see something or we get excited about something and we think that's it, but there's a lot more. When I mention you the word De Beers, everybody thinks what? Diamonds. But people don't really know the true story. Most people don't. It's actually De Beer Brothers. And they found some diamonds on their farm in the 1800s. And what they did was they sold it for 6,300 pounds. They sold their farm. Now, at that time, they found, I think it was two diamonds. One was huge. It was the Star of Africa, I think. So they sold the diamond, their farm. They didn't want the hassle, the pressure. But they didn't know what they were standing on. So they sold their farm for 6,300 pounds. At the time, it was a lot of money. Well, Cecil Rhodes and someone else came and bought it. Cecil Rhodes bought it, and they made an empire, and they called it De Beers. So their name is on it, but they don't receive none of the blessings. Many people have the title Christians, but they don't know what's attached to it. So De Beers, from that, it was called The Hole. It's called The Big Hole. 43 acres, over 700 feet. Well, after they sold it, you know how many carats of diamonds they discovered through the years? Enough where De Beers for years had a monopoly. Over 14 million carats worth of diamonds. But they didn't know what they were standing on. And when you're standing on the promises and the word of God, when you walk away from it just for a little, you do not realize what you're giving up. So they sold it. So they kept the name De Beers because one of the mines on their farm was called De Beers. Other one was called Kimberly. One was called De Beers. So throughout the years, they would see De Beers, De Beers, De Beers, but they had no blessing from that. Son of God, child of God, Christian, and we just call the titles, but we don't know the attachment to that. We don't know the good father that comes with it to give us entrance. 14 million carats. If they knew that, they wouldn't have walked away so easily. They would have sold it for more, or they would have mined it. Over 50,000 miners. Some say it's the biggest man-made hole. Some say it's the second. You can see it from space. Over 43 acres, 700 feet. Now you can see it's like a monument, and people go and they look, and De Beers, and De Beers, De Beers, that name, that monopoly, not knowing that two farmers just gave it away for 6,300 pounds, not knowing what they walk away from, and we get a little thing of the Holy Ghost, and we feel a little good at a conference, and we walk away from our destiny because of discouragement, and there's distance, and we do not know there's 14 million carats worth of diamonds still in your destiny, still have to be cultivated, because God doesn't say everything. He just says, trust me, I can hide the plan from Satan. What makes you think I don't can hide it from you? Just trust me. Just trust me. God, I want to see everything written down. I want to see, you know, picture my wife. I want to know how much money I'm going to make. I know how I'm going to live, the house I'm going to live in. I want to know how easy it's going to be if I go to Juarez. God, if I go to Africa and preach, I want to know how easy it's going to be, how many converts I'm going to get. What God didn't tell Reinhard Bunke is you're going to have years with no converts. You're going to have many tears, but those tears are going to go in the ground. God didn't say you're going to preach to 1 million people. He didn't say that. He just said, go to Africa, and he saw blood-washed Africa. One word. So many times we want this word to support this word to support this word, and all God's saying is, trust me. That one word just simply means trust me, and we come to God with our reasoning. Dad wasn't blessed. Mom wasn't blessed. I've made no money to this point. And God says, trust me. I said, did God really say? The same lie he said from the garden. Did God really say? And we distance ourselves, but as soon as their eyes were open, they returned that hour. Not that next week. Why? Because that was it. Jesus rose from the dead. Everything we hope for, this is it. They returned that hour to Jerusalem. Let's go back 7 miles. They didn't have a car. They had to walk. 7 miles is a long way when it's hot. See, he doesn't talk about the sacrifices or the pains. He told the disciples, he said, follow me. He didn't say you're going to write letters that are going to be for millions of people going to be saved. He just said, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. He didn't say about the discouragement and the pain and the joys and the hope, but he walks through it with it all. Just like the prodigal son. You know, we all know that story, right? The prodigal son. The father had two sons, and one son went and squandered all his possessions. You know what's sad about that story? Neither son knew the father. Neither son. Because the son that worked hard, when the other son came back, he walked outside, and the father went outside to meet him and said, son, what's the matter? He says, you know, I've served you all these years, and you've never given me anything. You never give me enough to have party with my friends and to all this stuff. And he says, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. And so many believers live like that. They see other people being blessed, and they say, look about me. And he says, look, he was wealthy. For him to give you that thing is nothing. And you act like it's a big deal. That was a servant mentality. I'm going to work, and there will be a reward. That's a servant mentality, not a son. Because if he really knew the dad, he would say, Dad, I want to have a party this weekend. No problem. Take one of the 1,000 goats or the 1,000 sheep. He was rich. And the other son goes, if I go back, maybe I can just be with the servants. Neither son goes, if I go back, he'll embrace me. But the father from far off, he went to the other son. And the other son didn't know the father because he never asked for anything. Why? Because he just thought he was just work hard. I just do what I'm required to do. And so he went outside. The father went outside to him too. Look at the heart of the father. So it's really the prodigal of two sons. One's a prodigal in distance and one's a prodigal in heart. But neither son knew the father. See, as Christians, we have the title, De Beers. We don't have the blessings. We don't have the knowledge. We don't have, but if you go, I mean, just for years and years and years, just to see that name, De Beers and the Monopoly, and have no connection to it. We hear about blessings and this and that, and we can't get jealous with other people, but because they didn't know the Father. We sang about it, the Good Father. But when you know the Good Father, you can go to boldly to the throne of grace, and he will give you, compared to the cross, what you're asking for is it's just about how you see yourself and how you see him, and if it's his will. Amen? So we look at Jeremiah. God says, Jeremiah, I've called you a prophet to the nations from the womb. I've separated you. And he says, I'm too young. Reasoning. Because I'm too young, I can't be a prophet. Moses, I'm too old. Reasoning. Because I'm too old, I can't do this. Reasons. Good reasons. Good reasons. It's reasonable. I never went to Bible college. I can't preach. I'm dyslexic. I can't do this. I stutter. I can't do this. I can't write. I'm not a good speaker. I'm nervous in front of people. I've never seen anybody healed. Reasons, good reasons, and we stack them up and they're reasonable. And we walk away and we talk different and we don't look back. See, when they left Jerusalem, they weren't walking like this. They were no longer looking at Jerusalem. And when we walk away from our destiny, we're no longer looking at our destiny. We're just walking. And they were walking with Jesus, but their eyes were closed. But God spoke to Jeremiah and he heard the word. And so many times we hear the word through the word, our promise, our prophecy. But then he touched Jeremiah. He touched his mouth. And then he said, what do you see? So he heard, felt the touch. And then he said, what do we see? And sometimes we see in part and we know in part. But then Jeremiah says, I see this. I see a branch of an almond tree. He says, good, I'm ready to perform my word. And then he says, Jeremiah, now what do you see? There's another thing to see. That's the point. Like when you see a little bit or God shows you something, we can't stop there. We have to keep knowing and walking with him. God, show me what you want me to see. If you don't want me to see X, Y, Z, show me A, B, C. Show me what you want me to see. And what happens is we run with the A, B. Here's the diamonds. I'm going to sell for 6,300 pounds, not realizing, God, show me what's under this ground. Show me what's under this destiny. Over 14.5 million carats of diamonds. They never would have left it so easy. People have laid down their destiny, realized, thinking it's just a little bit, not realizing all the carats and millions of diamonds that are the souls that aren't going to be saved because the songs that aren't going to be sung or the orphanages aren't going to be built because the money that you're not going to make because you don't think you're worthy because dad says you're not worthy and mom says you're not worthy and you've reasoned in your heart and it's reasonable and it's stacked up in the evidence that says that makes sense. It makes sense. But making sense and equaling God are two different things. It's trust me. It's trust me. So he told Jeremiah and Isaiah, and everybody says, open your eyes, open your eyes. And there's a time when we don't see and we don't know. You know, it's hidden. Proverbs 30, Asher. No one's even heard of him. The son of Asher, I forget even the guy's name, wrote Proverbs 30, and he starts reading it. And who did this? Who did this? And he goes, who puts the wind in his fist? And what's his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? Why would he say that? Hidden through the scriptures was the son. What is his son's name, if you know? But Satan didn't see the plan. He can keep it from Satan and reveal it to you because he's the good father. And you don't have to walk outside when they're throwing a party. You can celebrate that party and say, I want my own party too. You can be at his party with a good thing. Thank you for brother back. And then as soon as your friends are out, I'm going to have a bigger party. And it's not jealousy, but it's not that you're being left out because they did not know him. In both cases, the father went after the son. One he ran after he had his arms open wide. Another one he went out to the son. He did not wait. The two disciples are walking. Jesus didn't go look at them. He walked with them and he redirected them back to your destiny. And so today, if we can open our eyes, he can redirect us back to Jerusalem, back to the place of excitement, of joy, of all those things. But see, he was a prophet, and we hoped he was going to liberate Israel. But because he's dead, he was a prophet, mighty indeed. We had a good run, but them days are over. Man, I remember I was excited for God, but peace out, ain't going to happen. But he went back because his eyes are open. What would happen if your eyes were open? And I'm talking to the natural. We're not talking about that. I'm not talking about just some things you know. But what would happen if your eyes were really open and you could see where you're standing when you say, this is my purpose, this is my destiny. If you could see the 14.5 million carats of diamonds and not walk away from it and not just have it in name only, Christian, son of God, daughter of God, not knowing the value that you carry. And the diamonds are in you. They're in you. In each one of you, there's diamonds to be cultivated to make rings and necklaces and brooches. And some of you are shocked they even knew that word brooch and all these things. Why? So you can give them away to others. You have value. Come to the cross. You have value. You can give your testimony, as Pastor Easy said. Come to the cross. You have value. Because I only saw dirt. Tons of dirt came out with the diamonds. And we look at the dirt and say, there's nothing there. There's no good thing there. But you got to sift it. You got to work it. You got to analyze it. It's not just, God is just dirt. My past, my sins, my hurt, my failings. Nobody likes the way I preach. Nobody opened doors. Nobody, I'm not making any money. I'm just working for somebody. Just dirt, dirt, dirt. Sift, 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 sift. 14.5 million carats of diamonds, and they walked away with 6,300 pounds. And that night they were so happy, not realizing what they gave up. And we go to seminars and we go to churches and we have good services and we think that's it, not realizing what we stand on. De Beers, you know it's diamonds. But next time you see De Beers, know that there's two brothers who have lost their destiny over 6,300 pounds. Divide that by two. That's what they gave up. Well, they ate off it for a while. They lived off it for a while, but not enough. For years, De Beers was a monopoly. And now people go and look at the whole, the name. Yeah, but go a little back, go a little story. One choice to walk away. Everybody close your eyes. Lord, I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing people the diamonds that are in them. Yes, it's work sometimes to pull the dirt out and to cultivate and to mine. But in that dirt, there's diamonds. I thank you for the diamonds to come out, God. We're not going to walk away from our destiny. We're not going to walk away from Jerusalem. We're not going to use reasoning. God, open our eyes. Holy Spirit, open our eyes in the name of Jesus, like you did Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel. And you were transfigured with the three that were close. And you showed them who you really are, hidden with the veil of humanity, but you revealed yourself to them. So, Lord, we return back to our Jerusalem with joy and excitement, God. Redirect us to those things that we've laid down or we don't talk about. God, help us not miss our destiny and purpose because we judge you. It's slow, or we judge you. It's not right. But I thank you for taking those that dirt out, God. So I thank you, Lord. Each person looks in their lives in their mirror and they say, I see the value, God. And I thank you, you can return the years that the locust has stolen. And we don't say we're too young. We don't say we're too old. We don't say wrong gender, wrong background, wrong education. So Lord, I thank you. We will receive your words, God. In Jesus' name, amen.